Last time we were together, the prophet Elijah had just pulled off a huge win, like bigger than big, right? And he had gotten the attention of God's people. That was his job. Remember, Elijah's primary objective as God's spokesman was to kind of turn the people back to God and worship only Yahweh. And so when he pulls a victory over the 450 priests of the deity Baal, now all the people are listening. And in my mind, and with the big game coming up, the post-victory interview with Elijah might have gone a little something like this. Hey friends, I am here with the man himself, Elijah the prophet, who just triumphed against 450 of the best prophets of Baal you would ever imagine. It is incredible. Elijah, man, you have just won the Fireball Challenge, doused with water. Nobody thought you could pull it off. I mean, what's going through your head right now? Hey, thanks. Yeah, it's been kind of incredible. Like, I know that I had the faith and you know, God and I kind of put the time in together. And so I'm just trying to, you know, be faithful. I guess it doesn't matter how many people you've got on your side. As long as you've got God on your side, like if God is for us, who can stand against us? Am I right? Oh man, that is crazy. I cannot believe that. Well, I mean, like, you won it, you did it, you won the Fire Bowl. So what are you gonna do now? Oh, what's next? Well, I mean, I just kind of wanted to get people's attention, like draw them back to God. And, you know, but like, if I have to like choose something about like, what's the next thing? I mean, those Baal and those priests have been kind of detracting for a long time. So, like, we gotta take care of that problem. Take care of the problem. You mean like kill them? Kill them? I mean, I guess that is a solution. Just kill all 450 of them. That sounds like a good plan. Oh, okay, I guess. Now, there are times when we encounter seasons of disorientation in our lives, and we kind of lose our minds a little bit. We forget what we're doing. And it seems like these seasons of disorientation can oftentimes come after a really big win or a success. In the times when we feel that we are unmoored or unrooted, we can find grounding in God. We can still find God in the mess. And so this week we're continuing on with our series entitled Finding God in the Mess, as we look at where we can find God and stability in our lives in these seasons of disorientation. What we're able to learn from our scripture today is a way to empower ourselves to not only find solid ground, but also direction to take that next faithful step in the seasons of disorientation. Now, let's go to our scripture. Elijah's big move didn't go over well, right? Especially with the queen who had worshiped Baal her entire life. It just doesn't look good. And so with a whole country kind of hot on his tail, Elijah gets the heck out of Dodge, okay? He went all the way down to the southern kingdom through Jerusalem to Mount Horeb. The distance from the top of Mount Carmel to Beersheba was about 120 miles, which would have taken an average, ordinary single traveler about 6 days, but less if they were to run part of the way. Now, it's important to note here that Mount Horeb was also the place where about 800 years later, Jesus would climb to the top of the mountain with a couple of his disciples and have what we know as the Transfiguration, where standing beside Jesus were Moses and Elijah appearing to stand right next to him. This was a momentous experience. Cool, right? However, to say that Elijah was in a season of disorientation is a huge understatement. But he meets God in this place, and we see a few things happen. When Elijah meets God at this cave, God asks a single question. But this single question is asked twice. And after some pretty important encounters, kind of the bookend is this question. And this single question seems to be asking something different of Elijah each time. This single question both grounds and challenges Elijah. the question that God asks is, what are you doing here? In a way, God wants Elijah to name the reality of what's going on and why he is in the cave, a kingdom away from where he should be to do his job. Now, this question, this first time that it's asked, is a great way to take stock of where we are and begin to figure out our next faithful steps and where they should be when we feel like we're in a tailspin or a messy season of life. So when we find ourselves in a season of disorientation, we have to first take a look and take stock and ask, how did I get here? What am I doing here? Now in our scripture, notice that Elijah doesn't mention to God that he's fleeing because he had just had 450 people killed. He first blames the people and their unfaithfulness for his current predicament, right? Like, we can easily get into this pattern of naming and focusing on the things that are outside of our control when we're in this season of disorientation and we give up a whole lot of power. But after Elijah points the finger at everyone else, and he sees God in a different way, God asks the question again. But this time, it feels like the meaning has changed. At first, God is asking what brought Elijah to this place. And now, this second time, it seems like he's asking, so what do you want me to do, Elijah? Now, we can focus on how everyone else is wrong and how no one is on our side and that we're only trying to do the right thing. It's easy to name what is broken. But a question that focuses us on what we want to change changes the game. Answering God with what will equip you to take that next faithful step is a powerful thing. In our scripture today, Elijah answers God's question the same way both times, but it feels like the second time is really different. Elijah's response this second time seems like it's less a complaint and more of a plea from a lonely man. It's like he's saying, God, I've been faithful. I've done all that I can and my soul is weary and I need a partner on this journey and no one is there with me. God's response is to give Elijah marching orders. He's gonna have him go down and anoint a new king and find a replacement to pass his prophet baton to or place a mantle on. Here we see the final piece of our disorientation puzzle. We see that when we first reflect on how we got in our current circumstances, and then we look through the fog and name our preferred future through prayer and discernment, we finally then see that when we have a next faithful step, we have to step, we have to move. Elijah could have just stayed in the wilderness and finished his life with aimless wandering, but he grounded himself in a God-sized vision for his future. And the lives of God's people are changed. And if we fast forward a little bit, we see that his life doesn't just end as somebody who does little to help, but rather we see that it comes to this fruition that he is not alone and that he has made an impact and that he recognizes the power of his call because he takes that next step. And so as we close today, if you're feeling like you're adrift or in a season of disorientation in life, take some time to name where you are and then determine what you want out of the next season through prayer and reflection, not just naming the broken stuff, but what do you actually want? Where's the positive? And then plot some tangible next steps. Maybe they're small, maybe they're a little bit bigger, but what are those next steps to move in that direction? The good news is that this new direction might not be a forever thing. It might not be a perfect next step, but no matter what, you'll be able to find God in the mess. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, allow us to be mindful enough to name how we got to where our feet are right now, and then to name where we want to go next with you, so that we might be bold enough to take those next faithful steps into a preferred future that changes hearts and lives and gives witness to what you are up to in our lives, transforming and molding and shaping each and every one of us. God of grace, in all of these things, we pray in your Son's name, who guides us through your Holy Spirit. Amen.